Like Brother Suresh said, it's really a privilege to come as a church and come around God's Word. It's a privilege to hear. It's a privilege to understand. It's a privilege to practice and transformed by His Spirit and be a witness on this earth. Like once I heard from, means I read a quote of Brother Sadhu Sundar Singh. He said, "The greatest privilege on this earth we have is that we can take up our cross, deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ. Once we close our life on earth, we don't have that privilege again." He considered that as a great privilege. You know, in scriptures, when we read certain verses, many verses like that, but I just thought about few, it makes us to think. It makes us to think. One of the verses where Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, he said about another Jesus. Means Paul was telling about another Jesus. Then we have to think, Lord, am I on right track, or am I growing toward the right Jesus or another Jesus? See, that makes us to think. Otherwise, if that was not written, then we would have thought that Jesus means Jesus, everything is same. This person believes in this doctrine and calls on Jesus. This person believes in this doctrine and calls on Jesus. But it's all intellectual understanding and the faith, which is in the head knowledge rather. And another verse, I think of Jesus was saying in Matthew 15, where he said, these people say so many things with their mouth, but their heart is far away. In fact, Jesus was quoting Isaiah. Means that also makes us to think, there can be a mismatch in what we say and what we believe in our heart. So we could see that during Jesus' time. People who said, we know God, we worship God, we are serving God, and they killed Jesus. So such contrast can happen. And another verse I can think of, Peter saying, 1 Peter 5, he spoke about, this is the true grace of God. Oh, that means there is something called false grace. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that this is the true grace. See, when we read these verses, which makes us to think, Lord, help us to know, in the midst of all the knowledge, all that being preached, is my own life founded on the right foundation or not? That's very, very important. Otherwise, means like Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where God allows certain people to be deceived because they don't love the truth so as to be saved. That's quite possible. God has allowed all these things so that we will diligently seek Him. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So God wants us to search Him and find Him. It's our obligation or necessity. So I was thinking about this verse, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. Peter writes like this, "A bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." See, he is specifically saying there are certain kind of faith we have received. That means Peter and all those who were in touch with Peter, in fellowship with Peter, Paul and many godly ones, apostles. See, they received certain kind of faith. That's what he is emphasizing. This also makes us to think, oh, there is certain kind of faith which leads to godliness. A certain kind of faith doesn't lead us to godliness, or rather relationship with Jesus. Yes, so who have received a faith of the same kind of kind as ours? It's something which I thought, and I wanted to think about this and share what is in my heart. And then I would like to turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Here, what Paul writes. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. It says, according to the verse 4, last part says, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. So here Paul is kind of trying to emphasize, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. We have heard about faith. We hear much about faith because our life begins with faith, continues with faith. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we grow in faith. But here, Paul is specifically saying that there is a certain kind of faith which leads us to obedience. It's called obedience of faith. Even in chapter 16 also, he mentions about obedience of faith. If we read through Romans, it's a kind of a step-by-step progress where sinners, religious sinners, justification, seriousness of sin, and how we can master sin, overcome sin, and life in the Spirit. It's all progresses gradually. Chapter 16, again, it's like a brackets. It says obedience of faith. I was thinking about this. See, how we are born again. Today we have some baptisms where some of the brothers and sisters who have received the faith and received that born again experience will be sharing. So how we are born again? So first we received a faith that helped us to see that we are sinners. We were convicted that we were sinners. That's a faith actually. It's very, very important faith. In fact, if I have to say, what is the first touch from God? Or first connection with God? How it is established? Or God is trying to kind of touch our heart. Speak to us from the birth. God is trying to use so many means to help us to communicate that faith. That what is that faith? That is, something is wrong in you. Something is not okay. I received that faith. Means it started more strongly working from when I was 22 years. Like that, I was born again at the age of, I was a Catholic. I was born again at the age of 25. Means that time it came so powerfully that, oh, I always thought that, oh, there's something because of that, I'm not having peace in my life. I don't have joy in my life. I find so much confusion. Oh, because of this, because of that, circumstances, maybe upbringing, oh, this failure, oh, if this had not happened, oh, maybe it would have been better. All these things. It's all running in the mind, and maybe bitterness grows because of that, and unrest and unforgiveness, dissatisfaction, discontentment, so many things. But when the touch of God comes, or rather faith comes to us, oh, it's nothing of that. It is me, the sinner. That's why I have a problem. Because between me and my God, there is something called sin, which need to be dealt, which is blocking. Because of me, there is no block from God's side, that's a block from my side. See, that is a faith. And what that leads to? And leads to obedience of faith. That is, what is the next step? I will acknowledge, Lord, it's not that, this, not even you, nothing else. It's me, the sinner. I want to repent. See, this is when faith comes to a man, even to Paul, you can think of. See, Paul was rushing on, doing so many things, but something hit him when he saw Stephen got killed. He saw something quite different. That hit him. The faith came into him. Means like something started working. Then when Jesus spoke to him, that became very clear and evident. And then what happened? What's the result of God's speaking, or rather faith coming into the heart? The certain steps he had to take. He has to obey. Or all of us, we have done that. All those who are born again, we acknowledge and repent and say, Lord, it's me, I am the sinner, nobody else, even Satan is not responsible for this. I am responsible, and I want to take a step to acknowledge and obey in repentance. I want to repent. See, that's how it grows. See, what happens? Genuine faith leads to obedience. Then the faith grows more to see more clearly the sacrifice of Jesus. What Jesus did, what Jesus means, what exactly Jesus did to remove that block, that sin which was blocking me and God. See, that's how faith grows. Then we accept that the sacrifice of Jesus. See, it's all, see, like we see and faith grows and we accept, we take one step at a time. It's called obedience of faith. We go one step at a time. That is the true faith, rather. It's a true faith. And then we receive something more from God, that is an assurance of forgiveness. Assured that, Lord, because of you, you took the punishment, I have been forgiven. See, the thing is, Jesus said in Luke 15, where he said, for this reason, the heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. The whole heaven rejoices because, see, he is responding to the faith he is receiving. See, if the response is not taken, see, most of us, some of us maybe receive faith, but it's only intellectual faith. If there is no response or obedience, then it will not grow. It is only intellectual faith. This is what the dangerous thing which is happening rampantly around the world, where people think that, I received faith, but there is no response, there is no obedience, then they think that they are okay. So somebody believes this. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? There is no repentance. There is no response to the faith received. And then it is not obedience of faith. Then it is not a complete salvation. Then if they are baptized and make them to believe that they are okay, they are really born again, then they only suffer actually. See, then the growth won't come. So then there is some more faith comes. Oh, I think 2 Corinthians 5:15, yes. It says, if you believe that Jesus died, then you don't have right on yourself. See, the displacement happens. The faith comes that Jesus died, and with that, what is the obedience? Obedience is, I have to displace myself, the self which is sitting on the throne, which is the cause of all the calamities of my life. It has led always away from God. And that self of me, the one who is sitting on the throne, should be displaced. And if Jesus died, Lord Jesus, thank you very much. You worked out my salvation to forgive me. Remove that wrath of God, anger of God. Thank you very much, Jesus. You took the anger of God. You took the punishment. You suffered. You shed the blood. That has been accepted by the Father. And Father, raise Jesus. Father, raise Jesus. By approving, yes, I have accepted this. So because of that, I have been forgiven. Now I have to respond by obedience that, Lord, it's not me, no longer I, Lord, but Christ lives in me. Lord Jesus, you take that place. But self always, throughout our life, it's a battle. Self wants to come and sit on the throne, but we have to consciously, by the help of the Spirit, we have to say no to flesh and ask Jesus to come, the Holy Spirit to come and take over. See, this is the step when we are born again. But it has to continue. I want to see some more verses where, yeah, it says Philippians chapter 2 verse 21. See, here Paul says, for they all seek after their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. See, who are these people? For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. See, Paul is talking about Timothy and the many others. He was comparing. What is he saying is, these people who say that they have faith, but there is no response in obedience. There is no obedience. But Timothy is not like that. Timothy is not seeking his own interest, but he is seeking God's interest. See, this is called obedience of faith. So if I have received faith, true faith from God, there is an obedience. Obedience in not seeking my own interest. If I am seeking my own interest, I am coming to God, Lord, you do this for me, you do this, that for me, and okay, me, oh, my joy, my peace, my this thing, my that thing, my money, my property, my health, this, that. Then what's the difference between the people who have faith in other gods, who go after those other gods in seeking their own interests? And there is no difference between them and us. So that's why, so it's very important that we have to examine our own heart. Lord, is this faith leading me to obedience? If it is not leading me to obedience, that faith will remain only in the head. It doesn't sink into heart and it doesn't make a difference to our life. 1 Corinthians 13:5, where Paul writes about love. He says that love does not seek its own. That means if I have recognized the love of God, I will not seek my own. Anybody, see, even in home matters. Look, if I'm thinking about me, then maybe I have not received the true faith, the faith which leads to obedience. Even Romans 15:3 says, it says about Jesus. Christ did not seek his own. In fact, it is talking about kind of dealing with weak people in the church, like somebody who is weak in faith. We give space. Husband is strong in faith. He has to give space for his wife's weakness. If wife is strong, and wife has to give space for husband's weakness. If husband and wife, parents are strong, they have to give space for children's their weakness. See, that is faith. If I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I give space. You know why I have to give space? I am obligated to give space to those who are weak. Because God also has decided to give me space for me. He is strong and I am weak. He said, yes, I will give you space. I will cooperate with you. See, that because of that we have obligation, even mercy. Why we have to show mercy to others? Because I have received mercy. That's very important. See, if I say that I have received mercy from God, I have an obligation to, it's called obedience of faith. If I have faith, I obey the Lord in giving space to others. That becomes my obligation. Even 1 John 3:16, I would like to see in regard to church rather. See, we know love by this. You know, this is love, 1 John is saying. And that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So here, see, it's combination of faith received and faith leads to obedience. See, oh, you received faith. Oh, he died, like we heard earlier. He died, so I will also die. I will also lay down my life for brothers whom I see. See, like many people are eager to break bread. But what is the implication? Oh, I believe that Jesus died for me. But when I break bread, I am directly saying, I want to yield myself to this body, what I see around. And if I don't have that kind of an obligation or obedience, then what I received faith is, it's an intellectual faith. I see, I'm okay, but I don't have any obligation because I am not exercising my faith in obedience. That is where we fail. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he cannot see. See, here again, the faith and obedience comes. If you say you have faith that God loves you, then you have an obligation to love your brother. If you hate your brother, then the faith you have in love of God is fake. So that's what he is trying to say. In John 13:35, it says, by this all men will know. When people know that I am a disciple, that when I, like that, you are my disciple if you love one another. That means, what is love? Love is, Lord, help me to help my brother, help my sister to become better disciple of you, better child of you. See, that's the obligation. See, you are disciple when you are helping others to be a better disciple. We have an obligation. That's how Jesus demonstrated. And then again, Jesus spoke about humility. That is Matthew 5:3. If you believe me, you will have poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. See, there is a weakness in us. That's what it does. What faith does? Faith will help us to recognize our weakness. We are so weak, helpless. We see Jesus. See, like we read last week, like in Isaiah 53. So today Jesus is portrayed very differently. But Isaiah says, who will believe this message from us when we say that he grew up like an ordinary person and he was tempted in all points and he was treated badly. There was no attractiveness. People rejected him. All that he went through. Because he could have asked God to do something in whoever opposes him. He could have asked angels to come and do something. He could have done that. But no. He believed Father is in control. My Father is on the throne. I don't have to fight. Maybe God has something in all these things. When God allows me to be cheated or beaten or scolded or ill-treated, persecuted, my Father has something good in store for me. See, he didn't revile. We read that in 1 Peter 2. He didn't revile. He didn't try to justify himself, prove himself, nothing. See, he was treated like a scum, one phrase says, that he was treated very badly. He was not attractive to people. Hey, this fellow is nothing. That's all. But because of obedience of faith, he didn't want to promote himself and say, I will do this, or I'll promote myself. No, there is no promoting by himself. He knew, if Father tells me to be like this without preaching to anyone, telling anyone anything, let everybody misunderstand, and I am okay with that. And one fine day, Father will take care of everything. See, that's how. See, this is obedience of faith. See, just because Jesus believed, my Father is on the throne, you know, he went through all this. So, Father had a plan in all these things. That's what we see. That I think in Matthew 8 also we see that the centurion said, see, Jesus, you have power and authority. That is because he saw that this man is under some authority. He is obeying. He is obeying some authority. So he has authority. See, it's connected. So the centurion recognized. See, this is obedience of faith. Jesus kept quiet in his own position. He was under authority. And centurion recognized, this man has spiritual authority. He can pray and it will be answered by the Father. That's how we see that. That's why James 4 we read that God gives grace to the humble. So who is growing here? Those who are receiving faith and obeying what God tells them. Only those are growing in grace. So I would like to read one more verse in James itself. James chapter 1, it's a well-known verse. So it says, consider it all joy. You know, this faith, whatever we are receiving, it has to be tested. It has to be tested. Who will test? God himself will test. So God's word says, James saying that chapter 1 verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The faith tested leads to endurance. That's when the obedience comes, when we remain quiet under the testing of God. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's what God is trying, brothers and sisters. I'm not speaking like an expert. I've been tested almost every day. I have to go back to God and say, Lord, is my faith okay? See, sometimes we may go through some situations. See, like recently we had unexpected deaths of two brothers. What will happen? I mean, like your family find it very difficult. Even one of the brother was an elder of a church, effective member and an effective elder of a church. So, what's the question? Question is, Lord, what's happening? And then Lord is testing each one. Do we speculate, question God, or crumble under doubts and fears and anxieties? Or we say, like James says, consider it all joy. Lord, we don't understand, but we just obey and do what you are saying. I like the phrase, what Jesus told John the Baptist. He said, to fulfill the righteousness. See, when he came to take water baptism, John the Baptist said, no, I'm supposed to be baptizing you. Why I should baptize you? Then Jesus' reaction was, no, it is for the righteousness sake. See, I was thinking about that. See, whatever we need to do, God has told me, let me do it. That's all. Do I understand everything? No, I don't. I may not understand. I don't want to understand. God will take care. Because God has told me, I will do it. That's how Jesus lived. For Jesus, life was very simple. That, let me fulfill the righteousness. Okay. Somebody is accusing, I'll keep quiet. That's righteousness. Father is not telling me to say anything in reply. So I'll keep quiet. So he kept on living like that. That's how, even with baptism or in anything, he just kept on doing what the Father was telling as a righteousness. Oh, this is right in God's eyes. I will do it. That's all. Then life was not complicated for Jesus. So if we walk that path, it's very simple. So, I have to forgive my wife. Yes, I have to forgive. That's righteousness. But, you should do this and speculate. Oh, was she right? Was I right? No, all this speculation will lead to confusion. No, just Father is in control. See, that's what he is saying. Even 1 Peter 1:6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by the various trials. So, trials will come so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we leave it to God. But faith should develop, and that how it develops when it goes under obedience. Like, see, I just obey God and do what God is saying, and faith will grow, and the result is in God's hand. See, like the seed, when a farmer sows a seed, he doesn't look at it. It goes into the ground. It has to undergo various pressures, air pressure, water pressure, soil pressure, and so many things. And then one day life will come. And we have to leave it like that. Many things, like Jesus did. See, obedience of faith is, I keep obeying, I keep doing what the Father is telling me to do. And result, not in my hand. Result is in God's hand. That's how Jesus had tremendous rest. See, otherwise what happens, I want answers to everything. I find difficult. Until you tell me clearly, I will not obey. Then that's not obedience of faith. That is obedience of reasoning. That doesn't work. So obedience of faith is, I leave it in God's hand and God will take care. So, I was thinking about this, I think, Hebrews chapter 11. See, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world. See, there is a principle in the world. We'll do what we see, what we understand, only that we do. But no, he received a faith and God spoke to him. He just responded and he was seen as a fool for 120 years. He was seen as a fool for 120 years. Now, we respect and value Noah. But he went through that. Why? Because he received a faith and he kept on obeying God. The Lord told, he goes and he was a preacher of righteousness. He preaches, everybody laughs at him, and he goes back to build the ark. Everybody laughs at him, he goes back. He kept on. This is called obedience of faith. That's how we need to live. Faith is not, it's not reasonable. No, it's beyond reason. See, all these people found results in their life. Because God was, even Jesus' life. See, God was watching. They didn't want to prove to anyone, explain to anyone. But God proved their life. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. See, God has to prove. Oh, some misunderstanding. Okay, let there be misunderstanding. Lord, what I am supposed to do? Keep quiet, keep quiet. I will redeem you at the right time. That's what Jesus has shown us. That's called obedience of faith. Say, like a wife, an unbelieving husband. What am I supposed to do? My husband is not cooperating. Whatever it is. Daughter, you keep doing what Father is telling. That's all. That's what we see in 1 Peter 3, 3, 1 and 2. Just Just keep up to what you have to obey. But that's all. The result will come. That God will make things to happen. Like by faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as a See, so many things. What is this? Today we know that they got the result, even about Job also. Oh, he didn't find, it was, means at that time, it was not clear for him or things. But one thing, he received faith in his heart that God is in control. And he kept on obeying what Father was saying, even though externally it didn't look all that okay. See, that's how our faith is developed, brothers. This is the true faith. This is the true faith. This is the faith which Peter is talking about. You see, by faith, verse 23, Moses, he takes steps. See, faith always leads to take step. See, these who are taking water baptism. Faith came into their heart. They took a step to repent, acknowledge, and believe Jesus. And then received that assurance. It's not an intellectual thing. Receiving an assurance in the heart is not an intellectual thing. See, intellectually, it's all there. But when the pressures of life come, we get shaken. If the assurance comes into our heart, even pressures of life will refine faith to a greater heights. See, we see, oh, somebody like Brother Zach, Brother Ian, many godly ones, how they grew. See, they received an assurance in the heart, and then they kept obeying, and their faith was tried and tested, and they grew more in faith. What is the result? A fantastic life. Kind of unshakable life, we can say. That kind of life will come only when we entrust it to God and keep asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will work in our heart and keep producing the strength in us so that we can face trial and we are not shaken. Because that assurance, that faith and obedience, this faith and obedience leads us to the greater strength from God and helps us to stand in trial. That's what we must desire. That's what happened with Jesus. See, you think about Jesus. I would like to read that verse. Hebrews 12:1. After 11th chapter, all the Old Testament thing, many things happened externally. But what is the better thing? This, what happened with Jesus? The obedience of faith. That is written here. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What is that race? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. The one who had faith in the Father and kept obeying all that Father said, and he entrusted everything in Father's hand, the author and perfecter of this kind of faith. Peter says, those who have received our kind of faith, what is that? The faith which was in Jesus, Peter received, Paul received, that was working. What is that? That is called obedience of faith. It's a faith which helps me to obey and without questioning and trusting the Father. And then what is the result? He was who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Yes, endure. We have to endure because our faith is being tested. So it results great joy in heaven. See, like even those who are taking baptism, those who are born again, when they repented, there was rejoicing in heaven. Only heaven recognizes that. But people may not recognize. But those who are born again can recognize. But here, we can recognize what Jesus went through. He endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. See, again and again, we have to look at Jesus. I want that kind of faith. I want to go that kind of path of obedience and receive greater grace, faith, And then I want to live an unshakable life like Jesus did, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So what writer is saying is, if you don't look at Jesus, there is a chance that you stop obeying God. Or you will go to people who have only intellectual faith and those who are not tested. I like company of those who always avoid the cross, avoid to follow Jesus, avoid to taking up the cross, denying their self. And I want to enjoy with the people who discuss about this doctrine, that doctrine, so many things. And when they are tested, they will fail. May the Lord help us that we walk this path and we receive this kind of faith which leads us to obedience and help us to grow in the Lord.
We rarely hear what we heard this morning here. Obedience of faith. Normally, in other churches, you only hear about faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That is scripture, no doubt. But they don't emphasize further than that. Because the gospel is, Jesus said, neither will I condemn you. He didn't stop there. He said, go and sin no more. And obedience of faith, if you dig deep into the scripture, it is scriptural. It is the true gospel. We heard Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 11 about three things, false things. False grace, different Jesus, different spirit. So this you don't hear in other churches. They just think that this is some other denomination, things like that. But this is the same Paul who wrote about the true grace, the true Jesus, true gospel, is also saying here that there is another Jesus who says, come to me, I will forgive your sins and then you live as you want. This is one kind of Jesus. We don't preach this Jesus. And a different spirit. A different spirit that will not give you the inner strength to obey. Obedience of faith. That will not give you the inner strength to obey and follow Jesus. Just before Jesus left the earth, he said in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. This is what most churches leave it. They don't emphasize on it. Believe on the Lord Jesus, come to him and be baptized. Your ticket is reserved in heaven. That is a false gospel, that is a false Jesus, that is a false spirit. The real Jesus tells you, neither will I condemn you. When you come to him in repentance and faith, then he also tells you, go and sin no more. And the Bible says, you are not under law to sin, but you are under grace, Romans 6:14. So that sin shall not have dominion over you. If a person is under true grace of God, sin will not have dominion over him. Gradually, eventually, slowly but steadily, he overcomes all conscious sins and he gets victory in his life and he lives a victorious life. He is not defeated every day like he was before. There is no change. If there is no change in those of you who are taking baptism today, and if your own parents and siblings are not convinced about the change that has happened in your personal life, then you're not really born again. You better face up to it. And maybe it is good for you to postpone your baptism. Pause it. There are people who came here, who were baptized elsewhere, who came here and heard the gospel properly, understood it properly, repented of their sins properly, and then they took their baptism meaningfully a second time. So don't be under that category. If you have really repented and forsaken your sins, confessed it to the Lord, you have found mercy. And if you just conceal them, you will find no grace, no mercy. And you will continue as if nothing has happened to you. A genuinely born again Christian is one whose old things have passed away, and everything has become new. He is a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Has it been noticed by your parents, siblings, your friends, your relatives, your colleagues, or your classmates? If that has not happened and you are still joining them in their sin and mockery about things of God, then check yourself whether you are really in the faith. Old desire to sin is put off. When you come to Christ, the Bible says the old man is crucified. The flesh is crucified. And a new man is put inside of you by the Holy Spirit. And that new desire that hates sin, what you once liked, hates sin and loves righteousness. That's why Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his companions, it says in Hebrews. Because he hated sin and loved righteousness. If that is not happening in your life, my dear brothers and sisters, those who have already been baptized, if a change is not taking place in you on a daily basis, and you're not overcoming sin, conscious sin I'm talking about. You don't want to consciously sin. I was talking to a brother who is going to take baptism outside before the meeting. I asked him, do you want to sin? Not that whether you will sin. Do you want to sin? Ask that question to yourself. Do you want to sin knowingly and consciously? And every true born-again child of God will say no, an emphatic no. I don't want to sin and grieve the heart of God. Like Joseph said, even though he didn't live even under the old covenant, he lived before the law, And he said, how can I sin against God? So he had a very sensitive conscience. He puts us to shame. And he said that he fled from that scene. And he had to face prison and all those things for the next perhaps 10, 12 years. And then God, who was looking what was happening in secret in Joseph's life, he rewarded him publicly by exalting him and making him the second ruler in Egypt. My dear brothers and sisters, if you have genuinely repented, there will be a change, gradual change. There will be a hatred in you towards sin and the old way of living. You don't want to live like the way you lived, but you want to press on towards perfection. The Lord says in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and 12, he says, in the last days, I will make this covenant with my people. The Lord says, I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them upon their hearts. In the old covenant, he wrote them upon the tablets of stones. But now he says, I will put my laws into their minds and I'll write them upon the tablets of their heart. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. And verse 12, for such people he says, I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. I will remember their sins no more. And if God says, I will remember your sins no more, then why should you remember your sins? When Satan comes and tells you, you remember what you did that day or yesterday or today morning, what will be your answer? Talk back to the devil and tell him, my sins have been forgiven. I have repented of it. And the Lord has forgiven them. And he says, I will remember their sins no more. Then who are you to tell me? My sins are forgiven. And I am a new person, I am a changed person. Old things passed away, behold, all things have become new. Old desire of sinning is gone, and I hate to sin. I love righteousness, I love to obey the Lord. And today, brothers and sisters, you are witnessing to the outside world and to the spirit world that you no longer belong to Satan. You belong to Jesus Christ. And baptism is an outward sign of an inward change that has already happened in you. Because you have been born again, you repented of your past, and you know the assurance that you have been accepted. You are a child of God. And because of that, Jesus said, go and baptize them and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. So if after baptism you are not being taught to obey, unlike in many churches, they just leave you at that after baptism. They think you are ready for heaven. Brother, we have a long way to go between baptism and our final call. We have a long way to go. But in the meanwhile, if you take it lightly and you live like the rest of the world, you don't know that you may have lost your salvation. We don't believe in that. Once saved, always saved. We believe you can be saved if you are not careful to walk in obedience to the Lord. You can lose your salvation, like it has happened in Scripture in few cases. So, dear brothers and sisters, be encouraged that God has forgiven your sins and has given you the assurance in your heart that you are a child of God. You no longer belong to Satan or the world. You are a new creation in Christ, and the Lord is your Father, God is your Father, and the Holy Spirit is your helper, and Satan is being crushed under your feet on a daily basis. So that is your birthright. Then after that, to such people, Peter says in Acts 2:38, repent, believe, be baptized, and receive. Receive what? Receive the Holy Spirit to be strengthened in the inner man to live and to serve in the years to come. May the Lord be gracious to you and help you. Obey Him in the waters of baptism and guide you in the coming days to become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these dear young people who have decided to follow Jesus, who have come to the point of repentance of their old ways and sins and want to commit their life to you. Lord, thank you for forgiving them, for giving them the assurance in their heart that they belong to you. Now as they go into the waters of baptism, we pray that you will help them to come out as new creatures in Christ. And also we pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon them. You will fill them with the Holy Spirit, that they will be strengthened in the inner man to keep your commands and to put the devil under their feet in every situation, and to walk in obedience and to walk before your face, Lord Jesus, the rest of their life. Keep them from the evil one, because they belong to you now. We thank you and praise you for this time. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.